How are you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, Jeff. This is Miko.
Hi, Miko.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I have a few very quick questions. First of all, is this our last call with you?
Yes. This is our last official call.
Oh, no. Okay. So what do we do after this call if we get stuck?
You can always email questions into jeff.plf@gmail, and I do my best to answer those.
Okay. All right. I had a question for you. Now that I want to take shortcuts, so I've kind of sat, believe it or not, I remember I was really behind.
Mm-hmm.
I got my product together. Took some time off there. And so one of the things I wanted to do, and again, I don't want to cut corners, but, you know, to build, I looked at this software for squeeze pages, like LPG and stuff. Do you have any recommendation for software? I used to build websites. I just don't want to do it. Any recommendations? I'm willing to pee.
Well, you know, I've never used any software, but then I tend to have pretty ugly squeeze pages, but they also tend to convert pretty well. I usually look around and try to find things that I think are probably converting, and then I'll just go design something based on what they're doing. If you've done, HTML, you just know. If you look at my page, it's just a simple, it's a table with two columns, and that's it. And you can't get any simpler. In my opinion, for your market, since you're going more corporate, maybe it has to look a little fancier.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be ultra fancy. And you can get stuff designed like at 99designs.com. And, it's just, they're at the, so for something like you're doing, it probably should be a little fancier, a little better looking. And you can go like with the graphics design type of thing, like 99designs or was it Design Outpost, I think is another one.
But, okay, and then while you're on squeeze pages, have you done any tests with regards to video versus text squeeze pages? And kind of do you have any preference on that based on conversions? Because I know I love videos.
Yeah, well, as the length of the video goes up, your conversion will go down.
Okay.
But then the conversion, the people that you do convert are going to be better, better prospects. And now, since you're going to be mostly, I assume, going to a fairly warm audience, you could probably do a video. I mean, if you look at my current, I think it's my current page.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, I can't remember what's on, but I think it just got an image of a video, and then if you click on it, it tells you to opt in. That one's crushing it. That one's just killing it in terms of conversion right now.
Oh, that's nice. So are you? Oh, that's a sweet idea. I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you opt in and then you do a double opt-in, right?
Right.
Okay, and then when they sign up, do you send them a link now to see the real video?
Yep, yeah. So, that one works. Generally, it's like if you're going to do a video to get for a squeeze page, it has to be really tightly scripted and well done and designed to do nothing but get the opt-in.
Okay.
Once you start doing sort of a content video, do a reverse squeeze page, then your conversion tends to drop. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing because then the people you're converting are really, really warm. So it's sort of, I think the Australians say horses for courses,
yeah.
Meaning, different horses will perform on different courses better. And so, if I did, recently for my product launch manager training, I used a fairly lengthy video on that squeeze page. But that's because I sent it. It didn't go out to partners list. It only went to my internal list.
When you
was just squeezing people off of my internal list onto another internal list. So I was only interested in getting I wasn't interested in getting the highest conversion. I was interested in converting the best prospects.
Okay.
So it really varies. But, yeah, if it's going to be video, shorter is better.
Okay.
And very tightly scripted and designed with that one purpose in mind, which is, not to impart knowledge, but to get the opt-in.
Okay, and then, once you do the opt-in and you kind of build up your list and you do your courses, I'm not shy, but I'm nervous. I'm really nervous for some reason about putting this whole thing out there, even though it's been asked many times to do it. And I'm just going to do it and stick it on the wall and figure that, hey, if it all goes wrong, then at least I tried.
Yep.
So is that the kind of approach and mindset you took on your first one? Because, I mean, there's so many, like, I went through the materials, I mean, so many times. I watched some of those videos like 5-6 times, and there's so many things, you know, and I took out what I could grasp and shoved it in there. I by no means have used 100%. Let me warn you.
Well, it's a powerful, this is the thing, I've said this many times, it's a very powerful method, and you can get like 80% of it wrong and still do okay.
Okay,
You know, it's just, it's so powerful that, yeah, you don't have to do it all. And I make mistakes in every single launch I do, every launch. There's a lot of pieces, so I will always make some kind of crazy mistakes, but it works because you have so many different things going for you. You know, so many different triggers you're hitting and so many different touches that it'll work.
And then I guess I have one quick question as well. Talking about that where you're saying, you know, you only things can go wrong, which obviously makes me nervous. I know that you keep saying you need to build a business and do continuity, but do you really recommend that for your first couple of launches?
No, not necessarily.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you don't have to do continuity right off the bat, no.
Right, you recommend probably kind of fine, this kind of like going out to JV, right? You kind of fine-tune it, you get it going, and
yep.
you tell people, okay. And then I heard you tell one lady, which is something I saw, I'm trying to figure out, my market is warm, but the people on my squeeze page, and I've done just a tiny little page, and it's going well, but I want to beef it up. There are people that I guess they know me, but I don't know them probably, or, you know, they were looking for stuff, so they don't know me from Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the seed launch and having, you know, kind of inviting people to come in free and kind of, you know, get feedback from them. I listened to your videos on the fact that you said, you know, you did it through a combination of stuff where some paid, some didn't pay.
Yep.
When you did yours. So is that how you kind of recommend? Because I guess I'm nervous and I really want to test my material. But then
right.
My stuff is really good, and I don't just want to put it out there either.
Right. Well, what I did was, you know, I sold it at a that in that case, I sold it at a live event, and I only sold it to, you know, I never sold anything at a live event in my life, so it was an experience. So I sold about 9 of them, which was fewer than I was hoping, and this was, you know, the very very beginnings of Product Launch Formula. So for everyone else out there who, you know, you don't hit a home run the first time, you know, I think we're closing on selling, you know, $10 million worth of Product Launch Formula, but essentially after the first time I tried to sell it, I felt like a failure. So take heart there. But basically, I think we sold about 9 spots.
Okay.
And I knew that 9 wasn't enough, because if you got 9 spots, that means by the 4th or 5th call, you've got about 3 people showing up for the call, and it's hard to be interactive if you got 3 people on the call.
Right.
So what I did was then I went out to sort of friends of mine who were interested in, you know, but they sort of like they weren't interested enough to pay me, or maybe they weren't even at the seminar, so they didn't even know I offered it. So basically what I did was I tried to get it up to go from 9 people to maybe 30 or 40 people, because then I knew by like the fourth or fifth call I'd still have, you know, 15 people showing up for the call. And so that's the way I did it. You know, if you can, you know, if you have some people that, you know, you've done kind of consultations with in the past that might be interested but probably aren't going to pay you, then you can invite them. You know, so I did it very on a one-by-one basis, just with the goal of getting like 30 or 40 people total.
Okay, just to get feedback.
Yeah, just to make it interactive, because I do a lot better interactive than I. And I frankly, I'd done all this, the launch stuff, but I didn't know how to teach it. I had never taught it to a group before.
Oh, okay.
And so I had to learn how to teach it.
Okay.
And that's what really the seed launch, a lot of it's about, is learning how to teach and learning how to deliver what people want.
Okay. No, that makes sense. And then, sorry, I promise this is the last question. I saw you had like the PLF, training. I just missed that. I think I was in California or somewhere. That's why I said I started late. I just completely missed that. Is that already done, and are those people trained, and what's the – I guess, I don't know if you have to go over this on a call, but
– Yeah, well, basically, if anyone who blinked missed it, because it happened pretty quick. Basically, okay. What that is for is that's for if people want – and I don't think this is a good fit for you from what I know of your business, but for people – who want to be in the business of helping other people do launches.
I see.
So how to be a consultant and or a manager, how to be a product launch manager or product launch consultant. So like Brandon was our second caller today, and that's what he's doing. He's going out and finding people that need help with their marketing and teaching them, or actually not teaching them, but actually running a launch for them.
Okay.
And so I think for you, you're probably going to be in the market for one of these people rather than wanting to be one of these people.
Right. That was my other question. So I guess once you get that successful, then you're going to put out some more information on these people?
Right. Yeah. So basically, that's exactly what's going to happen is we're training this group of people, and we're doing this live event. We're probably going to have about 50 people there total. And we're going to do a very intensive training, and they're going to learn how to work with other people and run their launches. And then at that point, then we'll basically be able to, offer those. I didn't say that right. It's not like we offer their services because they're not going to be employees of mine, but they're going to be. Then when people come to me, which this happens all the time, people come to me and say, "Hey Jeff, can you do a launch?" And I do a launch for me, and I say no. Because I only take on one or two clients a year maximum. And so after that, the next question is, well, can you recommend someone? And at this point, I really don't have someone to recommend. So now what I'm doing is building up this group of people so I can recommend them. So basically, we're going to do this live event. We opened up registration last Tuesday, and basically we sold out immediately. So.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. It's very exciting. It's sort of our next step. So
where's your live event, if you don't mind me asking?
It's in Los Angeles.
It's in LA. I just got back from LA. When is it, if you don't mind me asking?
July 15th through 19th. And if for anyone listening who wants to attend, we have a waiting list. We just did have someone have to drop out, so we do have a waiting list. And we're going to take two or three people. Who want launches done for them.
Uh-huh.
And so they're going to be at the event, so we're actually going to create those launches at the event.
How do you sign up for that?
Let me see.
I missed the whole...
I thought it was going to take us a month to sell this thing out, and it took us a matter of a few hours. But...
How do you sign up? Is that a case study sign-up?
Yeah. Well, yeah, John's going to go and try to find that link, and I'll put it out here. But basically, it's for two or three people that want a launch done for them. And so, we've got all these people in the room that will want a launch, are learning how to work on launches. So what we're going to do is we're going to, create that there, show them how to do it, have them actually work on it. So it's going to be cool. So I'll get a link, and I'll give it out later in the call. As soon as John gets it.
Is there any specific criteria, like, for instance, you have to have tried it first, or does it have to be something completely fresh?
It doesn't have to be something fresh. I mean, it's going to be expensive, I'll tell you that. I mean, for the people that want the launch done, I typically will charge, just to get on my calendar, $15,000 to $25,000 when I take on a client. Plus a percentage of the launch. So based on those numbers, we're going to have a bit of a bidding war. People can bid and see to be one of those two or three clients.
Okay, but I guess what I'm saying is I didn't even see the email for the event.
Right.
I mean, did that come out to us?
I put out an email to a video.
Really?
People could have gone to the video to watch the video, and if they went to that video, then they got squeezed onto another list where we told them about the teleseminar. And, sorry about that. I could probably have someone send you an email with all the links for everything.
Sorry, hold on.
No, that's okay. If the first video was at productlaunchformula.com/lifestyle.php.
Lifestyle.php?
Yeah, lifestyle.
Okay, you said productlaunch.com?
Productlaunchformula.com.
Okay.
/lifestyle, one word, .php.
Okay, I'll go take a look at that. Yeah, I just missed that all together.
Yeah, it happened really, really quickly. It sold out, like, before I could get off the teleseminar. We basically were we're done.
No, that's awesome. Okay, well, thank you, Jeff, so much, and I guess I'll be conversing with you guys by email, and, you know, hopefully my stuff is a success. I think it will be in my little market, and I'll let you guys know how it goes.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks,
Miko. Okay, so John just sent me the link. If anyone's interested in being one of our launchees, again, we're either going to take two or three. We already have a bunch of interest, but we're trying to pick the best two or three, and we haven't picked them yet. The link, and it's going to be expensive. It's going to be very expensive because you're going to get me plus my faculty plus everyone at the event all working on your launch for you. And the link, if you were interested in applying for that, is at 6in7.com/done.4.u.html. That's 6in7.com/done.4.u.html. I'm sure I didn't repeat that enough, but I want to move along here. Okay, next question, and these are taking forever. I got to go a little quicker, otherwise we'll never get through here through this call. Hello.
Hello. Hey, Jeff. This is Jeff from Arkansas.
Hey, Jeff.
How's it going? I have a few questions about JVs.
Mm-hmm.
When you're first sort of sending out some information, I want to send out some information through the mail, through snail mail.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like a package that they can, you know, I kind of want to do the lumpy mail thing like you were talking about.
Yep.
In one of your previous modules. But basically, is this like a total pitch copy that you're sending to these folks, or is it, you know, fairly light on the, like, sales copy, just kind of synopsis basis?
You sort of, you know, the best case scenario is you develop a relationship somehow with these people beforehand. That's the best case scenario.
Right, right, right.
You know, you've gone to a live event, you met them, you bought a beer for them.
Sure.
That's the best case scenario. If you're just going straight to email, you know, I think it has to be very short, and it has to go for the jugular. It has to, you know, it has to tell them what it's about. And how much money they can make, and how it's a great product, and their clients are going to love them for recommending it. You got to do that very quickly. I get too many of these sent to me where it's 3 pages long, and at the end of 3 pages, which I'm just skimming, of course, I don't have a clue what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So you know, so tell them what it, you know. Don't try to be too cutesy in these things. You know,
sure.
You can be cutesy in the intro to try to get their attention in the first sentence or two, or, you know, something, you know, in magic markers scribbled across the top, in handwritten, but it's gotta be very succinct in telling them, hey, you know, I'm looking for a JV partner. We've done this with other partners in the past. They've made a ton of money. I don't know if you're gonna make a ton of money with your list, but you probably will.
Okay, so you're not really doing the whole, you know, hey, you know, I know a guy a lot like you kind of thing, and
you're not. Especially like, you know, if you're in a market where people are like the internet marketing space, I get such a deluge of stuff, and you know, I'm spending 5 seconds tops, you know, something coming in via FedEx. You know, that gets 15 seconds maybe, and too many of them, I just can't figure out what they're talking about. And so, I mean, I'm getting, you know, you got to make sure that they know it's a fit for their list. They get, you know, people sending me stuff that it's just not a fit, you know, or they obviously haven't looked at what I mail for, what I promote for, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, try to have a good fit. And like, I had one guy, you know, nice guy, but he sent me a lumpy mail with a rock in it, and it was like a rock taped to the thing. And, and it's like the first sentence was, you might be wondering why I sent you a rock. It's like, actually, no. I just want to get this in the garbage can as fast as I can.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that a lot of these people, I'm in the raw food niche, and, you know, I'm seriously doubting that these people are getting a whole lot of mail that's JV.
And so you're going to have to be, and you probably have to be a little more educational then.
Right.
So it's going to be, you know, I think it's going to be, you know, the intro is going to be something along the lines of, hey, you know, I'm writing to you because, actually, it's probably a lousy thing, but it's basically going to be, hey, I've got a product, you know, that's a perfect fit for your raw food list, and, you know, I've gotten great feedback. This is really helping people out. And, you know, if you're willing to just send an email out to your list, I know that we can both make a lot of money and help a lot of people.
Right, right.
That's the overall message. And I try to do that in one paragraph. And then, you know, below that, then you're going to have to start educating them on it and how it
the product. Right, what the product is, exactly.
Yep. Yeah, and also how a JV works, how they get paid, how you'll track, you know, why you would do this. You know, why they should do it, you know, and you know, because they're probably, they might be thinking that, you know, I'm selling raw food stuff. Why do I want to send some other raw food dude? And the answer to that, and it's 100%, 200% truthful, is that the people on your list, no matter how much product or content or whatever you put out, you'll never be able to satisfy their demand. They'll always want more. They're going to find me one way or another. If you send them to me, then you're going to make a lot of money.
Okay, right. Yeah, especially, I mean, you want to diversify your portfolio as well as another good point. Okay, so you know, what would be, I know this is like a total kind of airhead question, but what is a good conversion rate to kind of quote? I mean, this is something I've never, you know, I haven't done anything of this sort, which is going to be like a coaching kind of a program.
Yeah, well, this is
higher price point.
Yeah, ideally, you know, this is where doing the internal launch first comes in really helpful, because then you do get conversion numbers, and then you can quote conversion numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So that
you say like we expect or we project to, you know, convert, you know, 2 to 5%, or
yeah. You know. Well, I mean, it's hard to say. You know, I would, if you haven't sold it to your list. And so you don't have anything to base it on. You can run some pay-per-click traffic. You can try to get some numbers. But if you just, Frank, just don't have any numbers at all, you know, you can just say, and then I wouldn't talk conversion. I would just say, you know, we're selling this thing for $500. That means for every one of your people, and we're paying out a 50% joint venture commission. So that means for every person that you send me that purchases, I'm going to send you a check for $250. I wouldn't make any guesses at conversion. And the reality is most people are going to, if they're not terribly experienced, they're probably going to project higher than you would tell them anyways.
Right.
So.
Okay. Okay, that's about it. I appreciate your help. Again.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff. Okay. Next question.
Yeah, hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. It's James Osmar from London, Ontario.
How you doing, James?
Good. I think we met a long time at Stu McLaren's event.
Oh, okay.
Dia seminar out in L.A. or Anaheim years ago, a few years ago. But anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about is that the ideal price point for our home study program. I guess just to give you a little background, I have a templatable website for realtors. It's based around Google opt-in pages. There's YouTube. Videos that are added to the site, which is I sell relatively inexpensive. It's like $20 a month or something. And then I have a referral site also, which is a Canada United States referral, which they get in a bundle. But I want to put together, I'm getting people screaming for a training program on how to use the use Google and YouTube to drive leads to their sites. And I'm just curious to know what your opinion is on getting the ideal price point for an opt-in program, having been a new program and not launched yet.
Gut feel, so that's the real estate investors, right?
Well, it wouldn't be investors. It's for realtors.
Oh, realtors.
It's called a red-hot web page. It's a templatable website.
Okay.
So
we've got realtors who are just dying right now. They're hoping they see that light at the end of the tunnel in another, whatever, 6 months or something. They probably don't have a huge amount of disposable income. You're going to teach them how to pull traffic and get them to a squeeze page that converts.
Give you an idea, 86% of all people start their real estate search out on the Internet. Only 25% of realtors have actually completed a transaction from an Internet lead.
Okay.
It's a big gap in knowledge there.
Oh, and what is it going to be? So it's a home study course.
Oh, that's one of that or seminars. I'm thinking both, really, but I'm not sure which price point gets more. Home study get more? Does home study course get more money than a seminar, or is it vice versa? I would think a seminar would get more money.
Yeah,
it's harder to fill seats.
Typically, but it's tough to get people to buy live.
I have two realtors are doing out this on the tour, and they want my product, and they want me to go speak with them. So I have an automatic list building that way. I've got several hundred thousand realtors' names from around the United States and Canada. We've got 1,300 people in a list now that are in my membership, in my continuity program.
I'm thinking, to me, it sounds like, so if it was a home study course, how much material would there be?
I bet I could put up weekly like this, a couple months.
Okay, so I'm thinking low end $497, mid range, mid to high $997. I
guess if I go speaking, I'd have to pay 50%. I just did Childress Public Speaking Program last weekend in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I think now I didn't ask the question because there's a lot of stuff going on, but I think the entry point for going speaking was $995.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to pay 50%.
Yep. Yeah.
So you think the home study course could be cheaper?
It could be, or it could be. I mean, you could certainly get $1,000 out of this. I have no doubt. I mean, it'd be safer. You know, it'd be for dipping the toe in the water for your list. You could do it at $500, and I think you'd be real safe right there. But I think you could also get $1,000. So, you know, I mean, maybe an internal launch at $500 and see what happens there. Tell them you're going to...
My internal launches, I have 50 people right now that are using the website. I was going to offer to them for half price, market it at $995, let them in at $500.
Yep.
Give them 50% if they sell it at
$1,000. Yeah.
As the affiliate program goes.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
However, it's always nice to hear it from somebody else who's a pro like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. You talked about your early days doing a teleseminar, and you had I can't remember the number, low, 10, 20 people. I had done three seminars in the early, a few years back. I got 45 people. Believe it or not, I dropped it. I was getting 45 a time. I dropped it because I didn't think it was enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have anybody to talk to say, no, you're on the right track.
Right. Yep.
But anyway, I think that's probably all. Let me see here. Oh, for your membership area here now, every time you put out a new launch, a new relaunch product launch formula, do you do a new members area?
No. Basically, we go in and revamp it. And I'm not saying it's the best way. We sort of did it in a quick and dirty way. So there are better ways. I'm sure there are better ways to do it than we've done it.
Now, what would happen to us, this current
then
class?
What we do for people, so like let's just hypothetically say I would do a 2.3, which is purely hypothetical. I've got really no plans to do it. But let's say I did, what then I would do is I'd create a backdoor link so that if someone, like say yourself, you were in the middle of a launch and then we come out with 2.3, we sort of pull everything back and then we roll it back out for 2.3, we'd still have a way for you to get in and see all the content for our past people. So like right now, all the 2.0 and 2.1 people throughout this whole thing, they've had the opportunity to go and see everything.
All right.
And like I said, it's sort of a bunch of spaghetti code pulling it together. It's not like a super slick unified system, but that's how we've done it.
All right. Okay, I think that's pretty much all I have. I'm sure you have other people to deal with. It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Best of luck. Have a good day.
Okay, we got three more questions, then we're going to move on to our slides. It's going to be a marathon call. Hello.
Hey, this is Daryl Cowley from Calgary, Canada. How are you doing, Jeff?
Good. We've got a lot of people calling from Canada today.
Yeah, well, it's cold up here. We haven't got anything else to do. I had a couple of quick questions for you. I'm building a business management training business, and we focus on online and self-directed training alternatives for managers and companies.
Okay.
And the trouble that I'm having right now is breaking that first purchase barrier with the online customers. And so I have a kind of an offline business that's running okay, but I want to move things into the online world. And I have a couple of questions about that. One is I've built my subscriber list up. We just hit over 2,500 prospects on my list. And it was built based on subscribers to a website called freemanagementtips.com. And I'm worried that I've attracted a whole bunch of free information seekers.
Right.
And I was wondering what your thoughts are on using a website that has a free right in the title as your initial list, as your squeeze page.
I've been hearing sort of this over the years that if you give free, you just get freebie seekers. And it's never, I've never worried about it, and I seem to be able to do okay when I try to sell stuff. So I wouldn't worry about it. Yeah, certainly.
Okay.
Maybe you get a slightly higher percentage of freebie seekers, but you know, the reality is if they're looking for management tips, these aren't people that are clipping coupons out of their paper, you know, and going digging the paper out of their neighbor's trash to cut the coupons out of theirs. You know, I just
okay.
Don't worry about it.
Okay, so I won't worry about that. The other question I had is I put together a couple of courses, and one of the things that I've already learned kind of from you is the first thing I did was put together what I thought people should want to know. So I've gone back and done a survey and put together a seminar that's based on, or a product that's based on customer survey responses. And it's a video series. It's about 4 hours long.
Okay.
And what I'm wondering is I have this list, and I've been sending them free information for quite some time, some of them for over a year now. Mm-hmm. And I want to do a launch based on the new course that I put together that's based on the customer survey. And I'm wondering if you had an opinion on whether I should do it as start with a small launch with a lower priced product, or if I should start with a bigger launch with a higher priced product. And to give you an idea of the price point, I've got this course currently listed at $97. I could do ebooks down to 40 something, or I would also consider doing more of an online webinar based series up in the $1,500 range. Do you think there's an advantage to starting with a lower priced launch to this list, or should I just go ahead and jump right into the $500 or $1,000 product launch?
I would consider the lower priced one, to tell you the truth. there's a couple schools of thought here, but I like to sell at the high end, and because there's going to be a certain pent up demand in your list. You know, if you had 2,500 people, there's like 50 or 100 people on that list. They're going to buy from you because they've been reading all your stuff and they love it. And they're going to buy from you no matter what you put out. And if you put it out at $27, they'll buy. And if you put it out at $1,000, they'll buy. And so, you know, I'd rather make that $50,000.
Well, that's true.
And there's another thing is like people, like they like to pigeonhole people. And the question is like, do you want to get the first product you come out with is going to have a huge impact in how you get pigeonholed. And would you rather be pigeonholed as a $27 guy or a $47 guy or as a $1,000 guy? And I think that, you know, if you've got the material that, you know, the quality material, then I'd go higher end. It's sort of interesting. We're picking up some. I'm going to go ahead and mute you here. I guess we're picking up some interference or something. But this is a story that I'm pretty sure I have never, ever, ever told, which is amazing because I've been on so many of these calls. I've told all my stories. But I remember like when I was first coming out with Product Launch Formula, and I'd never sold anything in the internet marketing space before. And I'd been sort of, you know, a little bit, not terribly active, but I'd been somewhat active. I'd been on a few teleseminars from other people, and I'd been on a few bulletin boards. So a lot of people sort of knew my name, or they'd heard other people talk about me. You know, I helped John Reese with the launch, so people heard you know, me being talked about in that context. And then I came out with Product Launch Formula, and the version 1.0 was sold at $1,000, or $997. And I remember when I revealed the price on that, we did a nice big build-up, and people were really excited, and then I revealed the price about, 24 hours ahead of the launch, and I got an email from a guy, and it just said, you know, Jeff, this sounds like a good product, but I just don't see you as a $1,000 guy. And I just laughed because, I'd already had, Corey Rudel, pay me, offer to pay me $10,000 just to get on the phone with him. And I'd already had, other people pay me a lot of money. I had some of the biggest name internet marketers in the world call me up for advice. And I was about to launch this product that, we ended up doing $250,000 in the first day, which was a big deal back then. Almost seems like small numbers now, and I just had to laugh. This guy said, Jeff, you're just not a $1,000 guy. And, here I am, almost $10 million in sales later. And, that's the lowest price I've ever sold anything at was $997. So it was just sort of funny. People do like to pigeonhole you. And it's better, in my mind, I'd rather be pigeonholed as being at the high end rather than the low end. Okay, next question. We've got two more questions, then we're going to go to my slides. I think I'm going to make my slides somewhat abbreviated here because we're going really long.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff. It's Lynn again.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Tired, eh?
Yeah.
My website, I've got the domain name, but I'm still working on it for Billy. It's www.pianotechniques.com.
Oh, wow, that sounds like a great domain. Pianotechniques.com.
Yeah, T-E-C-H-N-I-C-S.
Okay,
and
great.
And I like the definition of what techniques means. And I would love to send Billy a survey.
Okay.
I'd love to, so I don't know if you can connect the two of us, if you can create a triangle or something. I'd love to be able to send a survey, but
okay.
I can email you later with that or...
Yeah, send it to Jeff at jeff.pilaf@gmail.com,
I'll
get to it or Betty will. And
okay.
Betty's listening in here, so I'm sure she'll get you all hooked up. Pianotechniques.com.
Right, but it's not up and running yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
it's
not up and running. I'm just in the process. But I've just been kind of mulling over some of your ideas that you gave me, Jeff. And so what I'm wondering is should I just keep the blog maybe just for answering questions or else writing articles and just keeping on warming my list? And then have the website for videos with the product that I want to sell, and then also I've got some affiliate products I want to sell as well.
Well, I think, these don't have to be on different domains. You can have your blog be, pianotechniques.com/blog. And
okay.
Then you could have pianotechniques.com be your squeeze page. And then you could have pianotechniques.com/video1 be your first video. And then over at YouTube, you could just have, if you enjoy this video and you want to get more, just go to pianotechniques.com. And then they go there, and there's a squeeze page.
Okay.
So.
Okay. All righty. So then I shouldn't then on the blog, I should just keep maybe the website just for, I think you've just answered my own questions.
Okay.
And then just your opinion on this. Should I give possibly, let's say, 6 free lessons on how to improvise, and then if they want more, buy my product, or should I just have the videos to show what could happen, and then have them buy my product?
Well, what I would do is, I think, the 6 free, if you took those 6 videos and you put them all up on YouTube, but then you also had them, if people join your list and they would get a series of 6 autoresponses, they get them. Yeah, then I'd give those to them, and then I'd try to sell it to them.
Okay.
Or, sell them the product after that.
Right. Okay. Good. No, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Lynn.
Okay.
This is our last question before we go to our PowerPoint.
Hey, Jeff, it's Brandon again, and I just somebody had asked something about getting partners, I believe. I ended up actually having to leave the call in the middle because I actually just had a guy call me and wants me to do another launch for him in the real estate niche, and so I took that call. But One thing with getting JV partners that I found is that, and especially this has worked okay in the trading niche with a lot of people that aren't very good at marketing, is if I approach them and I say, you know, if they don't want to do something to begin with and send something out to their whole list because they're afraid they're going to lose sales, I say, well, how about you just send something out? The only people you send it to are your former customers, because you're not going to make anything from them anyways. They don't like you anymore. And a lot of people fall for it. And I still pay them fairly for it. I give them 50% of what the, I give them 50% of the sale. And, you know, half of the people think that I've just lost my bloody mind wanting their former customers. And in my mind, I say, well, those are people that have bought something before. And so, you know, I'm plenty happy to only have my emails going out to people that have actually pulled their credit cards out before. So if people are looking for a way maybe to get some JV partners, that might be a way to do it with a couple of people. And then the other thing was on free positioning. I haven't done this myself, but I'm in a mastermind group with I'm not sure if it was Peter Parks or Hanif Kafi that told this, but they've started, instead of saying that they're going to give you something for free, they'll put a value on something, say, this is a $47 report, let me buy it for you. And they said that they've actually had a better response from that, and that people don't start perceiving all the information is free. It has a value attached to it all the time. And so it ends up where they don't end up having all those freebie seekers on their page. I haven't done that myself, so I don't know from my own experience if it works. But one of those two guys, and they're both, you know, they've both made seven figures so far this year. They're pretty smart. And that was something that they had said that people could try in terms of instead of giving free stuff away.
Okay, cool. Sounds interesting.
Anyway.
Okay, thanks, Brandon.
Yep, all right. Thanks again, Jeff.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, now we are that was our last caller. We're at an hour and a half, 90 minutes already, so I'm going to go through these questions on these PowerPoints really quickly. Here we go. I have an info product I've been selling online for a year with a few sales per month. My opt-in list is only 100. I'd like to try a launch to firstly increase sales and secondly to build a list. Would you recommend a seed launch or an internal launch is more appropriate for my situation? I'd recommend an internal launch to make the sales. To really start to build a list, you'll probably get a little bit of a list build if you do an internal launch just from some word of mouth and stuff. But to really do the real list build, you're going to have to do the full-out external JV launch. So what I would do is I'd do the internal launch and try to get some sales. And then, assuming you had some good results and some good metrics, then you would come back and start looking for, you know, probably just initially one or two or three JV partners, do the launch with them, and then roll it out bigger. And that's how you, you know, so really, that's how you build the list. So I'd go internal launch first and then look external for the list build. Next slide. What software do you use to keep track of affiliates and affiliate standings? Is that done through a merchant account? The software I use is called Synergix by Paul Galloway. That's SynergyX.com. It's great software. It tracks really, really well. It gives you a shopping cart as well. It doesn't have the built-in email management, so I use it with my AWeber/profollow.com list, and it integrates well with that. The deal with Synergix and Paul is you're going to end up, Paul installs it for you. He's done a bunch of customization. I've got Paul on retainer. I consider him as part of my team. This might be more of a higher-end solution than some of you are after. You know, you could also go with, like, oneshoppingcart.com. I know a lot of people use Infusionsoft.com. They're more like a plug-and-play type of thing. Synergix is more you get it installed in your server, and, you know, like I said, I've had a bunch of custom work done over time. And there are plenty of other solutions as well. Those are just a few of them. here we go, another question. I have a potential client that's written an ebook that he sells on ClickBank. He has 500 people on his list and wants to use teleseminars to build his list and increase his revenue. I think PLF will be a good way for him to do this, but I'm not really sure of the best way to do this. I suggested to him that we do a survey first, then conduct a two-part seminar, one with pure content and the other content and promoting. I would also suggest that we get JV partners and ClickBank affiliates to promote. Is it logical to promote this teleseminar to the ones that have already purchased? This sounds like it's Billy's question. I think we already answered this one for Billy. I mean, this is exactly what Billy's question was. So we're going to skip that one. From Tanya and Chadwick. Hi, Jeff. A singular question is challenging. How about, is your special session still available regarding training to be a product launch expert? This is what Miko was asking about earlier on the call. This is our product launch manager training. We're basically, we're sold out on that. We do have a waiting list. If you want information on this, just send an email asking for information to jeff.plf@gmail.com. We'll send you information on how to get on either the wait list to attend to become a product launch manager, or for the people that that want to be want to throw their hat in the ring to be one of the people, one of the two or three that were actually creating their launch. That's the way to do it. So sorry, we did that thing sold out. I mean, literally, I thought it would be a month-long process because it's a high-end event for very expensive high-end event. It's a $25,000 event. I thought it would take us a full month to sell that thing out. We did that one webinar, and we were like, we had like 100, and I think we're about 190 applicants for those 50 spots. And then now not all those 190 passed their qualifications, but we still ended up with like about 100 people that were pretty darn qualified for those spots. So we sold out instantly. If you want to throw your name in the hat for either, you know, getting a launch done for you or for being on the wait list, go ahead and send that email. Okay. From Jerry, what web platform do you use for PLF? WordPress, a content management system, straight HTML? Is it merely a personal preference, or is one type of platform easier to handle when putting together sites like yours? I've got a launch coming that will have similar content needs as PLF and want to make this as painless as possible. Also, what membership site script do you use? So the Product Launch Formula site is basically built with a member is doing the member processing. It's actually tied into my shopping cart, so I don't use the a member shopping cart. We're using straight HTML. I think if I redid it again, when I redo it, I'll probably go with WordPress. You could also use a Joomla or something like that. But I know like WordPress plays pretty nice with AMember, so that's probably what I would go with right now is AMember plus WordPress. There's other membership site scripts out there. MemberGate's one a lot of people like, and that's got the whole content management system built in. It's a little more expensive, but it's a lot of happy people that like MemberGate quite a bit. That's owned by my friend Tim Kerber. So MemberGate's a good one. But, yeah, I'm using AMember and straight HTML. In the future, I'll probably go to AMember and WordPress. Okay, next one. Hey, Jeff, I'm working with a blogger on a launch. He has a ton of subscribers and readers from FeedBurner, but no email list. He's a little bit worried about continually pitching from his blog. He's okay with posting as pre-launch content pieces are released, but doing it every day is a big issue with him, as it would change the relationship he has with the readers. We'll obviously generate opt-ins from his blog and the videos we post, but it's not the same as blasting to a huge email list. Can you advise me how you would proceed with this if faced with similar circumstances? Use the blog and use the feed to generate the email list. It's that simple. I mean, I think you get one blog post where it's like, hey, folks, you know, people are really, really interested in this. We got something cool coming out. I'm not going to, change the way I do things on this blog, but, if you are interested in this at all, I suggest you go here and put your email address in, and we'll hook you up with all kinds of great information. So you got one free shot on the blog. Then you can post some content, the pre-launch content of the blog, again, push into the opt-in list. Then then you can occasionally mention it here or there in passing and driving people to the email list. That's the way you do it. It's that simple. And this is a pet peeve. Don't, and this goes for everyone, this term email blasts, I hear that used a lot. People say, I got to send out an email blast. Never, ever, 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 ever use the word blast in the same sentence as the word email. You do not send email blasts. I mean, do you like getting blasted? Do you want things blasted into your inbox? I bet you don't. I bet you like to get, emails that were written for you, personal emails certainly, other emails that make you feel like they were written personally. The only time you use the word blast is if you're going to Dairy Queen and getting one of those Butterfingers blasts or something like that. You do not use the word blast. Take it out of your dictionary or out of your vocabulary. Stop thinking of your emails as blasts and start thinking of them as individual emails you're writing. You might have 10,000 people on your list. It doesn't matter. You're writing an individual email. It just happens to be going out to 10,000 people. I could rant on that for like hours, but it's been a long call, so I'm going to cut it short. Okay. Next one. This might be our last one here. I'm not sure. Jeff, great stuff. I'm doing a two-day conference on healthcare marketing. Target audience is pharmaceutical executives as the attendees, and PR and ad agencies for exhibitors and sponsors. I assume I use price discounts and limited seating as scarcity to sell tickets, and then do traditional PLF-style launch of limited sponsor slots. Is this sounding right? I'm a little concerned that pharmaceutical executives won't respond to the email sequences as others might. I think they will if you get the tone of the emails right. You do a price discount if they sign up early. You do limited seating. You can do a dinner or a reception if they sign up by such and such a date. They get to the special VIP dinner or reception. You could do a series of follow-up teleseminars after. Like sign up by such and such a date and you'll qualify for this follow-up training. But that's, you basically have it right. But you do like a traditional PLF with the whole event. You do it for both the attendees and the exhibitors. And, yeah, price discounts, limited seating, and then extra bonuses, which easy ones are like the VIP reception, VIP dinner, that type of thing. And have multiple deadlines. So, like, if the event's like September 1st, have a deadline of August 15th where the price goes up. Have a deadline of August 7th. Have a deadline of July 31st. So have a series of deadlines. Don't tell people about these deadlines ahead of time. Just focus on whatever the next deadline is. So if the next deadline is July 15th and the early bird discount goes away, then send them an email on that. Then after that goes away, then you start focusing on the next one, which is the VIP reception. They have to sign up by August 15th to get the VIP reception. And just take them through a series. What you're doing is you're setting these scarcity hurdles up, and you're working them through those hurdles and trying to get people to jump at every hurdle. Okay, I think this is the last question. From Daniel in Boise, how do I create an effective survey to figure out what my market and list really wants and how willing they are to pay for it? What types of questions are most effective to get at the real meat of what my market wants? This is, I already talked about this a couple times in this call. It's just, hey, if you could sit down with me for a cup of coffee or sit down with me for lunch, what's the most burning question you have about this topic? And, you don't say this topic. It's about growing tomatoes, about restringing your guitar, about building a wood plank canoe, whatever it is. And it's that simple. Okay. And, we did have one more question. This is the last question from Todd Lee in Gold Coast, Australia. Hi, Jeff. I am about to commence my first internal launch. I don't have a dedicated server, only basic hosting with mid-phase. Google Video is no longer accepting video uploads, so now I don't know where to I can host my pre-launch content videos so I can embed them and stream them from my site. The videos range from 20 to 40 minutes long, and I don't want to have to cut them up into 10-minute long videos to host them on YouTube. Please advise where's the best place to host video content stream from my site. Ideally free, if not a low-cost solution. So first of all, even if you did have a dedicated server, you still would want to serve video from your server because you would overload it pretty quickly. I use S3 from Amazon, and it's very inexpensive, especially if you're doing a smaller launch. It's very, very inexpensive to stream videos there. That's what I use. That's what I recommend. The other thing I would say is if your videos are 20 to 40 minutes, they better be really good. They better be really good if you're asking someone to watch for 40 minutes. If this is the first launch you're doing, the first time you're really doing this with these videos, unless you're a true domain expert and whatever your knowledge is, whatever your area you're selling, if you're a true expert and people really hang on every word you say, then you can do those longer videos. If not, you might want to look at getting those videos cut down so they're 8, 9, 10 minutes long. And then you can put them on YouTube. So be really careful about putting up really long videos. Make sure that people are going to watch them all the way through. And it's good, compelling content. It's tightly edited. Otherwise, you're going to lose them. And if you are going to do something that long, then just go with S3. Just Google Amazon S3. The letter S and then the number 3, and you can get set up pretty quickly with them, and it is very inexpensive. Okay, that is our last question, and we went an hour and 15 minutes, and I'm pretty worn out. Hope you guys got something out of it. We got a lot of good questions, a lot of lengthy, meaty questions we got, too. So hope that worked out for you guys, and really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.